Amen. And now hear the words of God from Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20. Giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. That is enough. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, your word is good and true, and it instructs us in how to live as we walk by your Holy Spirit in Jesus Christ. And so now conform us to your word through the preaching of your word, by means of your Spirit, that we may glorify you, finding our greatest joy in you. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. Well, welcome into a Thanksgiving week celebration. I'm going to be speaking on the subject of Thanksgiving here, and I want to begin with a quote from Charles Spurgeon, who says that gratitude is a rare thing. If you search the world around, among all choice spices, you shall scarcely meet with the frankincense of gratitude. It ought to be as common as the dewdrops that hang upon the hedges in the morning, but alas, the world is dry of thankfulness to God. Are you thankful to God? Are you filled to overflowing with thankfulness to God? I have good news for you. You will be. You will be. You are going to be the kind of people, we are going to be the kind of people who are going to be so overflowing with thanksgiving because of the work of God and Jesus Christ in us and our ability to understand and comprehend that. You will be a people who will never stop giving thanks. I hope to show you that this morning. But we have to get there. This is not just a Thanksgiving preparation message like getting ready for this coming Thursday, but really a charge to stop and evaluate yourself according to God's word. To stop and evaluate yourself according to what God's word commands and according to what God's word promises. Thanksgiving. How do we cultivate it? Why should we? And what does God have for us in it? Because with Thanksgiving just around the corner, I want us to consider Thanksgiving as a holy weapon that has been given to us and has been given to us to spur one another on to use it in the fight for faithfulness. Thanksgiving is a weapon given to us in our fight for faithfulness. This passage right here in Ephesians chapter 5 describes the work of God's Spirit in us where we find ourselves giving thanks. But the command to give thanks is all throughout Scripture, over and over and over again. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 tells us, commands us, give thanks in everything. No, there's no exceptions in this command. Give thanks in everything. For it is the will of God, he says. In Deuteronomy chapter 28, As God was bringing the people into the promised land after a generation of wandering in the wilderness, because they would not give thanks to God, because they would not remember him, because they did not have faith in him, he let them die in the wilderness and a new generation then raised up. Moses warns them that they're going to go in and be given a land, and this land is going to be full of all kinds of blessings. In fact, cities have already been established for them. They will go in. Vineyards have already been planted for them. They will go in and take them. They'll be theirs for the taking as God leads the people into victory. But he warns them. He warns them as they go in. He says, because you did not serve the Lord, your God, with joy and gladness of heart for the abundance of everything, therefore you shall serve your enemies. Listen again to this. He says, you are going to end up serving your enemies. Why? Because you did not serve the Lord your God with joy and gladness of heart for the abundance of everything. You didn't look around and see all that God has given you, all how much God has protected you, how God has led you through those deep and dark times, how he is leading you through these times and granting you victory, and you haven't walked and enjoyed those things with abundance. And because of that, you shall serve your enemies. Moses warns, you shall serve your enemies whom the Lord will send against you in hunger, in thirst, in nakedness, and in need of everything. And he will put a yoke of iron on your neck until he has destroyed you, because you did not serve the Lord your God with joy and gladness of heart for the abundance of everything. Do you hear that warning? Romans 1, 18, actually the passage goes on throughout chapter 1, but Romans chapter 1, verse 21 and 22 particularly reveals that the heart of the unbeliever is hardened to God because he refuses to give thanks to him. Romans 1, 21, because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools. We are a nation of fools because we refuse to give thanks to God. We refuse to acknowledge him. We refuse to give glory to him. And we refuse to give thanks to him. And our foolishness is completely overcoming our nation. This foolishness is destroying us. We are commanded to be a thankful people. We're commanded to be the kinds of people that give thanks. As Tyler mentioned in Psalm 100, enter his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting and his truth endures to all generations. And so God expects us every Lord's Day as we come in to enter into his gates with thanksgiving. You got dressed this morning. You had breakfast. Did you put on thanksgiving? Because you were to enter into these gates, and it just doesn't mention whether you were to wear a tie or not. It doesn't mention whether you were supposed to dress up nice. It does say you were to enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Straight up command from God. God commands over and over and over again that we are to be a thankful people, that we are to give thanks. But Ephesians 5 stands out for us. It stands out showing us that the kind of gratitude that we are commanded to have is actually evidence of the work of God's Spirit in us. Is it hard to give thanks sometimes? Is it hard to render thanks to God? Sometimes in the easy things, the things that you should give thanks, you feel almost awkward, almost maybe childish about it, stopping and giving thanks to God for your sandwich. I mean, come on, it's just a sandwich. Or you think, I've already given thanks for so many, to my wife or to God or to other people so many times for these things. Why do I need to continue to give thanks? Well, we need to continue to give thanks, as we'll see, as a weapon. But what about all those times where we don't want to give thanks? Parents, you know what it's like to teach your little children that when grandma comes and gives that gift and you say, now give thanks to grandma, and the child looks at you, looks at grandma, give thanks to grandma for the gift. And okay, you come with me, and grandma says, oh no, I don't, I want him to really mean it and give thanks. So you don't need to discipline him. You say, oh, just a minute, I'll take him in here. He'll be right back and he'll want to give thanks, trust me. We have to be disciplined to give thanks, don't we? We have to be disciplined to give thanks in all things, and that's what the Spirit is at work doing in us. Again, this verse in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20, is in the midst of a longer sentence, which begins in verse 18. And it says, and do not be drunk with wine, which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Describing now what it means to be filled with the Spirit, he goes on speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. These are the actions, the work of God's Spirit in us. Do you have a hard time giving thanks? Well, God is at work in you. If you are in Jesus Christ, God is at work in you, disciplining you, making you a more thankful person, a person who wants to give thanks to God in all things. This is what the Spirit-filled man does. Instead of drinking himself away in his sorrows, instead of turning to something else to provide some comfort or to get away from all the troubles that he has, the Spirit instead works in this man and he finds himself able to give thanks in all things. In other words, again, we see that God gives what he commands. He commands you to give thanks in everything, and then God's Spirit works in you so that you can. Salvation then not only grants us forgiveness of sins, salvation creates in us a new man, a new spirit, a new way of living, a new way of seeing the world around us, driven to see the grace of God in everything. This is what the Spirit does. This is a message you need to hear. This is a message I need to hear. I frankly am preaching this message to myself because I need to be disciplined to never forget to give thanks to God in everything, which means I am going to have to turn to God and cry out for His Spirit's filling because I will not do so naturally, left to my flesh. I need Thanksgiving every year. I need to be reminded to set aside time and practice the discipline of giving thanks. Because if I am not the person who is giving thanks, I will be a person who is falling into unfaithfulness in no time at all. I need the weapon of thanksgiving in order to fight for faithfulness. In this passage here, it says, we are to give thanks always for all things to God the Father. And then it says we are to do so in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We offer up our prayers in Jesus' name because we have to come to God in Jesus' name because we cannot come to God. We cannot come to the righteous, holy, perfect God in anything other than the clothed, perfect, holy righteousness that I don't have, but Jesus Christ has given to me if I have received Him by faith, if I have believed upon Him. If I have turned to Him and away from my sin, if I've depended upon Him, then I have now the name of Jesus by which I may enter into the courts of God. This is so important because when you enter into God's courts with thanksgiving, when you come into His presence, you had better come in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Because you know, your giving of thanks is far from perfect. You know that oftentimes your giving of thanks is with still some suspicion about God's real, true, full, and complete goodness in your situation that you're in right now. You know that. You know that your giving of thanks is oftentimes a giving of thanks, but you know, if I could have had my own choice, I would have actually preferred. You know that you go before God and you give thanks, but you doubt whether or not there's really this transaction, direct transaction going on before you from God to the sandwich you're about to have. And so you know when you go to give thanks to God, you must go and do so in Jesus' name. But when all of our praise and petitions and confessions and thanksgiving, which fall short on their own, are offered up in Jesus' name, then our great mediator and high priest receives that intercession, receives that giving of thanks, blesses it, purifies it, perfects it, and turns around and gives it to the Father on our behalf. We are giving thanks to God the Father in the name of Jesus Christ. And by the way, we're doing it as we are motivated, changed, and moved by the work of God's Spirit in us. When we are giving thanks to God, when we are praying, the activity, all members of the Trinity are there with us. In Christ, then, our Heavenly Father is pleased to receive our worship and our thanksgiving. Not only that, He knows that He is helping us to practice that which we will be doing perfectly for an eternity. I want you to think about this the next time you're not thankful. I want you to pack this away in a moment when you're not thankful. And say to yourself, okay, honestly, right now, I'm not thankful. Now, I want you to picture for just a minute, at that moment, I want you to think, what would it be like? Ask yourself, but what would it be like if I was thankful? What would it be like if at this moment, right now, I was able to see God's goodness and ultimate sovereignty in everything? I was able to see God's hand in it and how good it was and how it's always leading to blessing and perfection and glory and honor to Him and my good forever. What if I could see that? And you just think for a moment about that. You're not going to feel that, but just wonder. Wouldn't you like that? Wouldn't you like to be the kind of person who whatever happens, whatever circumstance, whatever's going on, you always remembered to, you always naturally, you intensely, fervently, and satisfyingly gave thanks to God for what he was doing? Wouldn't that be exactly the sense of satisfaction and joy and gratitude that we want in life? Isn't that in one sense what we're leaning toward, aiming towards, going for? To be someone who can look around and just see nothing but things to give thanks for. But don't you realize that that is exactly where your life is headed? Wherever you are on the thankful meter, and I'm a little on the low end, I'm a glass half empty kind of guy left to myself. Okay, I know a lot of you guys are the glass half full kind of guys, and you always see everything is always more optimistic. Oh, you can see it's going to get better, it's going to get better, and I'm left to the, yeah, but we're a little short here. We're still a little short. I'm a little low on the Thanksgiving meter left to myself. But what am I going to be doing in heaven? Revelation chapter 7, verse 9. After these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude, which no one could number, of all nations, tribes, peoples, and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, saying, "Salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb." All the angels stood around the throne, and the elders, and the four living creatures, and fell on their faces before the throne, and worshiped God, saying, "Amen, blessing, and glory, and wisdom, thanksgiving, and honor, and power, and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen." That's what's going on in heaven. And when we are conformed finally and completely to the image of Jesus Christ, when we are made that perfect bride for the bridegroom, when we are before his throne and before the Lamb, with all of the angels and all of the 24, all of the elders, and we will join in a song, we will join in a giving of thanks that will never end. You will be conformed to that. That's where he's taking you. That's where it's going. You can come along with the show right now and start practicing, or you can put your feet down and push against it and say your yes buts all you want right now. But here's the deal. If you're in Jesus Christ, that's where you're going. That's where it's going to end. That's what it's going to culminate in. You are going to be a thankful person. You're going to be more thankful than you ever could ever have imagined you would be. God says that's the way it's going to be. Why don't we start practicing that right now? And so you practice when you give thanks for your sandwich, when you give thanks for rest, when you give thanks for Lord's Day, when you give thanks for your paycheck, when you give thanks for your home, when you give thanks for your glass of wine, when you give thanks for your knowledge of the love of God for you. Ephesians, again, chapter 3. The first three chapters of Ephesians, Paul has been describing in great detail all of the spiritual blessings that are ours in Christ Jesus. And he's going to move on in chapters 4, 5, and 6 and say, now because of these things, I want you to do something. There are things that you need to do, but the first three chapters are just everything God has given us. And he stops. In verse 14 of chapter 3, he says, "For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named." And he says, "I'm praying for you." He had the Ephesians in mind, but by God's Spirit, God has your name in mind, as he says these words, "that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints." Now, he's praying that prayer because you don't comprehend it. You don't comprehend this. And so he's praying for you, that you would comprehend this, that you would be able to comprehend, together with all the saints, what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. And then he says, now Paul gives thanks. Now to him who is able to do, not just to do, but to do exceedingly, not just to do exceedingly, but to do exceedingly abundantly. not just to do exceedingly abundantly, but to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, and to do so according to the power that works in us, in you. To him be glory in the church by Jesus Christ to all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Paul gives thanks for what he is comprehending and prays that we would begin to taste this, to comprehend this. Look for grace everywhere. Look for the love of God at work everywhere in you. That's what the prayer is about. See God's overwhelming, consuming love over, in, through you, in everything going on in life today. And if you don't comprehend it, which I don't, then ask. Then ask. Ask to comprehend it. Ask to see it, that you might grow up in it. Ask to see God's overwhelming grace and love and power over you, driving you in every aspect of your life to glory. To a glory that will go forever and ever and ever. Practice giving this thanks. Seeing God's grace glorifies that grace. And seeing God's grace glorifies God. John Piper writes, past grace is glorified by intense and joyful gratitude. That's how we glorify God. We see the grace that he has given to us, and we give thanks for it. And we give thanks for it intensely. And when we do so, we glorify that grace. But we also glorify God when it comes to our faith in the future grace that is still ours, that is still coming. The future grace that is ours to come. And so he says also that future grace is glorified by intense and joyful confidence. God is glorified and his grace is revealed and glorified when you believe the word of God, that God's grace for you is abundant and still coming. And still coming. Never ending. Thankfulness is a weapon for fighting for faithfulness. You aren't perfect at it yet? God says, fine, today's another pre-game warm-up. The real thing's happening in the resurrection. But here's a pre-game warm-up for you to practice. And he gives us so many things to practice giving thanks for. First of all, there is, of course, the thanksgiving in the easy providences. We will only be able to give thanks in the hard providences of God, those ones where people would never believe that you could actually give thanks in the midst of that providence. Well, you'll only be able to give thanks in the hard providence of God to the extent that we are giving thanks in the easy providences. And so we must develop patterns of thanksgiving with remembrance before the Lord. And that's what Thanksgiving is for. That's what a feast on Thursday is for. I need to practice giving thanks. I need to practice remembering again all the things that God has given overwhelmingly, abundantly to me and to mine. And I'll need to practice it again and again and again. And so he gives us Lord's Days. He gives us every 7 days an opportunity to give thanks again. This day should regularly be a Thanksgiving day for you and for your family. And you should practice hard at giving thanks. You should practice hard at giving thanks with rest and with food and with fellowship and with forgiveness and with grace and laughter and song. You need to practice. And so set aside time to rejoice in the good things that God has given you. And set aside to do it with friends and loved ones that he has given you. This reminds us to not forget the mercies of God. If you forget the mercies of God, you're doomed. Do you know the mercies of God for you? Do you know the mercies of God for you? Can you number them? If you don't know the mercies of God, if you have forgotten the mercies of God, forgetfulness begets thanklessness. We're not a thankful people if we're not meditating on, remembering, celebrating the mercies of God. One of the reasons it's so hard to give thanks is because giving thanks is actually a very humbling activity. Giving thanks requires in it an acknowledgement that you didn't deserve what you're receiving. Giving thanks really ultimately is about receiving grace, noting that it's grace, which of course reminds you, I don't deserve this. And see, so often you think that you did deserve. I deserve the sandwich. I worked hard for the sandwich. I made the sandwich. I don't need to give thanks for the sandwich. Forgetfulness begets thanklessness. And arrogance begets thanklessness. So I need to practice over and over, humbling myself and saying, like David said, 2 Samuel 7, then David the king went in and sat before the Lord and he said, "Who am I, O Lord God? And what is my house that you have brought me this far?" Who am I? If that can come off of King David's lips, the man after God's own heart, how much should that come off of ours? What would King David give of his kingdom to have the car, the television, and the indoor plumbing that you have? Oh Lord, who am I? Who am I? How about this? Dentistry. Someone once said that that's the proof of God making life and the world a better and better place. One of the best proofs of postmillennialism, dentistry. How many of you have no experience right now of pain in your mouth? I know some of you have braces. So it's not happening for you right now. You are blessed beyond measure in so many ways, and we have to be humble people who give thanks for that and practice in those things over and over again, because we are also required to give thanks in the hard providences, those things we didn't ask for, those things that take place in life that you say, how could a good God do this or let this happen? You're never going to be able to comprehend that. We're not going to be able to comprehend it completely anyway, but you're not even going to get close if you're not practicing. It's like trying to understand God's hard providences when you're not practicing giving thanks all the time in the little providences is like me getting up with Eric Lecce this next week and say, "Hey, can I join you for the next marathon run?" I'd fall over and die. Or to join with someone and say, I know what I can do. I know that a man can bench press 350 pounds, so I'm going to go and I'm going to bench press 350. And I haven't lifted in years. You aren't going to do those things. And in the same way, you aren't going to give thanks in the hard providences. You will not. You will not be able to if you're not practicing giving thanks to God in the easy providences over and over and over again. Many reps, many reps. You see that? Because we are commanded, though, to give thanks to God in those hard providences as well. Giving thanks in the easy providences, whether you feel like it or not, preps you. Preps you to give thanks in the hard providences, whether you feel like it or not. Even in the command giving of thanks, by the way, is something worth looking at carefully in the Word. We are told to be thankful, but we oftentimes take that in our sentimental view, and we think that to be thankful means that what we must have inside of us is this warm feeling that we call thankfulness. Warm feelings of thankfulness are a wonderful thing. But thankful could be understood this way: full of saying thanks over and over and over again. Full of saying thanks, full of giving thanks, regularly giving thanks. Give thanks in everything, not feel thankful in everything. You're not always going to feel thankful. But the direction of getting to be, even to start to be that way, is going to be by first, by faith, giving thanks. And of course, Jesus is our great example of giving thanks in the midst of hard providences. If you want to learn how to give thanks in the middle of hard providences, when you're going to say, God, how could you give this to me? Jesus Christ is your best example and our perfect example. We don't deserve anything. We deserve nothing from God. Every good gift, everything that is ever good that is given to us is grace. Full-throated, absolute grace flowing to you. And if God doesn't give you that, or if God grants another trial, it's not like you didn't deserve it. And so when that hard trial comes, you look to Jesus, who in fact didn't deserve anything other than the blessing and grace of God. And he received the full weight of the wrath of God for our sin. Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he takes bread and he says to his disciples, I've waited for this evening with longing, great expectancy. And then he says to them, this is my body, which is broken for you. His body's not broken yet. And then the scripture says, and he gave thanks. He gave thanks. He knew better than we'll ever understand when God gives us hard trials. He knew perfectly well what was coming, why it was coming, and who it was coming from. And he gave thanks to God the Father for an action that was just around the corner for him. And then they left that place, and he went to the Garden of Gethsemane, and he pleaded with God. You see that? He gave thanks, and then he went into the garden and he pleaded with God. God, if there's any way this cup could pass, nevertheless, not my will, but yours. And the scripture says that he went back three times and pleaded with God, and then he sweat drops of blood. He knew the hard trial. He didn't dismiss the hard trial. He didn't pretend like it wasn't going to be hard. It wasn't like that at all. But he gave thanks. And Paul writes, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. I don't care what your problem is. God says, I don't care how little your problem is. I don't care how big your problem is. I don't care how long your problem's been going. I don't care. Whatever your problem, I want you not to be anxious. I want you instead to come and by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. With thanksgiving. Don't forget to give thanks for the problem that you are crying out to God to change. Don't forget to give thanks for the problem that you're crying out to God to change. Let your requests be made known to God in that way, he says. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. Remember that incomprehensible love of God verses in Ephesians 3? And the peace of God, which makes no sense at all, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. He says you can have that now. We're going to be practicing it. It's not going to be perfect. But Paul says, I want you to pray like this because you can have this now. You can have the peace of God that blows your own mind. I don't know why I'm at peace. I just know that I am. I know that I've pled before God for things to change. I know I've given thanks to God for the things that I have. They are very hard. They are very difficult. I have sweat blood praying to God to take it away. but I've done so giving thanks. In the end of the section of the Garden of Gethsemane, angels come and minister to Jesus. Angels come and they minister. See, there are hard providences in life. There are very, very hard providences in life. There are many, many circumstances that it's just really difficult to make sense of. And in Ephesians 5, it seems as though we're given two options. You can drink yourself into a stupor, or you can be filled with the Holy Spirit and be incredibly thankful and at rest with God. And pretty much everybody is on one of those two paths. That's it. You're either growing in your ability to forget by doing whatever you can to forget reality, or you're pursuing God deeply and profoundly and intensely so that you can understand reality far more clearly. That's why I need to practice giving thanks. As a piece of guard, God guards our hearts in Christ Jesus, we find that we count it all joy. But we find that we count it all joy by faith, not feeling, when we go through these trials. James, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. And we learn to repent of placing our faith and hope in only what we can see and make sense of, because Hebrews 11 tells us that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I can't see it. I can't see the answer. I can't see how God's going to make sense of this. I can't see how possibly any good can come from this. But it's not about what I can see. It's what do I believe? And more importantly, who do I believe in? Describe him. Describe the one that you believe in. Describe the one that you believe in light of the circumstances that you're struggling through. Is he big enough? Is he wise enough? Does he know the end from the beginning? Does he know the number of hairs on your head? Has he determined your days from the very beginning to the end? Has he shown you over and over and over again his gracious love in innumerable ways? Innumerable ways. Has he often not answered your prayer and you can look back and say, oh, thank you for not answering that prayer. You had such better plans in mind. Who is the one that you believe in? Is it possible your God is not big enough? Is it possible that your God is not the God of Scriptures, the God who raised Jesus from the dead and who will raise you from the dead? Thankfulness is a weapon for the faithful. One of the hardest commands is to give thanks. And one of the hardest commands in giving thanks is not just during the trial, but for the trial. Thank you, God, for the trial. We can become distracted by who or what brought the trial to us, the circumstances, forgetting the one who sent the trial to us. But God is really sovereign in every detail of life, or he's not God. If God is not sovereign over every detail in life, ladies and gentlemen, you are wasting your time right now. Go find someone that is. Or go build yourself a fortress to protect yourself from all the terrible, horrible, hard things that come in this life. Or turn to God and find him to be your strong refuge and place to hide in. And so just as we teach our children to say thanks whether they feel like it or not, so too thanksgiving can be rendered by faith before the natural and emotional thanksgiving arrives for the celebration. Before. Only faith sees that God is working in our trials something grander and more glorious than we could ever imagine. Paul writes, 2 Corinthians, therefore we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. Everything that's causing us to perish, God is using to do something far more grand than we could ever imagine. From that work, from that difficulty, He is working something far more grand, far more glorious for you than you could ever imagine. Listen again. We do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. You will press that 350 pounds, and you will run that marathon, and you will walk through the greatest of trials, because you walked in Jesus through the greatest trial ever that took place already. You already walked with Jesus, if you are in Christ, through the most difficult trial ever, because you died in Jesus Christ, and then you were raised in Jesus Christ to new life in Christ. And if you don't know Christ, then I would invite, encourage, and tell you, die. Die in Jesus Christ. Go through that greatest trial, that greatest humiliation, that you might receive the greatest exaltation, new life, eternal life in Jesus. This faith, this kind of faith, disciplines thanksgiving in the hearts of believers like a spiritual shield forged in the fire of the heavenlies by the Holy Spirit. That kind of thanksgiving will win battles. That kind of thanksgiving will mortify the flesh and prepare us for glory. So fight pettiness in your home with that kind of thanksgiving. Fight bitterness with thanksgiving. Fight discontent with thanksgiving. Fight lust with thanksgiving. Fight pessimism, agnosticism, and unbelief. Fight it. Kill it with thanksgiving. And then ask them to pass the potatoes, the stuffing, and the cranberries around again, because there is so much more to give thanks for. In Jesus' name, amen. Our God and Father, we need to see Jesus. We need the gospel every day. We need to have our faith renewed to see the vast love poured out upon us, the promised redemption and resurrection and restoration of everything, all things, everything that ever has or will happen is in your hands, and you are good. Then, Father, by your Spirit, grant us thanksgiving that glorifies your grace and protects our hearts unto faithfulness. Do it for Jesus' sake, for we pray in his strong name, and amen. Amen. Stand and continue.